Tim Stout. He is the WILS TV 10 sports anchor, Fox 47 sports anchor, and of course, you can read his columnist in the Lansing State Journal every Sunday morning. Tim, how are you?
Morning, Tony. Good. Thanks. Hope you're having a good summer.
I am, and as soon as I saw the terrible news about Bubba Smith, I wanted to talk to you. I don't know anyone who's more connected with Michigan State as far as knowledge on the folks that have been playing there, that have been working there, and I know you knew Bubba Smith, and I wanted you to give us your thoughts about not only about the passing of Bubba Smith, but tell us the story. Why did he come to Michigan State? What did that mean, and what was accomplished while he was at Michigan State University?
Well, I don't think he would have been a Michigan Stater in today's world, because when he came up through Beaumont, Texas, under his father, who was a prominent high school football coach, in those days it was very difficult to get, you know, top-notch minority athletes into the Southern schools. A high school player of his caliber today would have had all the Southern schools all over him. Duffy had no connection with him. His older brother, Willie Ray, went to Iowa and didn't really like playing there that much. Duffy's name was next for Bubba, and they, at that time, decided to go ahead and take him. Although I think Bubba's dad didn't think that that Bubba had a lot of discipline coming out of high school, and Duffy was concerned about it. And they clashed frequently his first couple of years at Michigan State, even to the extent that he wasn't, you know, convinced that the two of them were going to be together for all 4 years. Duffy, in his book, which I read last night when I came home, and he spends four pages on about his relationship with Bubba. Duffy says he's the only player he ever assaulted in practice one day, jumped up on top of him and was pounding him because he got into an incident with some teammates. But he did mature. He did come around. He did play on great Michigan State teams in 65 and 66. He was generally a happy-go-lucky guy, as everybody has known him for the latter stages of his life. And, of course, he's a big figure in Michigan State lore over all these years.
And a lot was done to make sure that he stayed in the Michigan State fold. His jersey was retired, and he was back in town on several occasions.
He was. At the time in 2006, this was only the third number to be retired in Michigan State football history, number 95. He was the first in the first class of the MSU Sports Hall of Fame in 1992. He was inducted into the College Hall of Fame in 1988, and he won a Super Bowl in 1970 with the Baltimore Colts, and he's the only Michigan State player ever chosen first in the NFL draft. That was in 1967 by Baltimore. But, of course, he's known by many people because of his movie credits, because he got into acting, of course, after he got out of pro football, and a lot of people have known him for that over the years.
And the Police Academy movies were funny. He made many other appearances on TV. I think what gets forgotten about his acting career is those commercials that he did, which were somewhat groundbreaking.
Right, they were. And you know, he just was a big, happy-go-lucky guy, and you kind of thought of him that way all through life. They're doing an autopsy in Los Angeles because they're not completely certain of the cause of death. He was 66 years old. He lived in a middle-class home in Los Angeles. I don't know how he was found yesterday, but the video we had last night, obviously the media had been tipped off that they were there because the media was on the scene when the medical people were there yesterday removing his body at the time. And so the word spread quickly yesterday, and because of his persona in, you know, Hollywood, which still was there, that merited, you know, media coverage, and it was more than because he was just a good football player. He only played 8 years in the NFL. He's like everybody else. He had some injury issues. But that personality of his took him a long way, beginning of his days at Michigan State. But his personality really developed, I thought, his junior and senior years when the Spartans started to win.
The greatest defensive player who ever played at Michigan State?
Well, certainly one of them. He was a great defensive end. Like I say, it's pretty strong when you're the first pick in the NFL draft, and nobody in the history of the school has ever done that. He was absolutely, his junior and senior years, a monster player, mainly because Duffy motivated him and the other assistant coaches to play as hard as he could play. He didn't do that the first couple of years here, and he almost didn't make it through his first 2 years. But once they got meshed together and he got with teammates who got him on the right track in terms of competitiveness, his skill came through, and he was an extremely talented defensive end And obviously he showed that in Baltimore, too, because they went on to win a Super Bowl, and he was a major part of that effort.
And we're talking with Tim Stout, WLX TV 10 sports anchor, as well as the sports anchor for Fox 47. You can read his columns in the Lansing State Journal every Sunday. Tim is a very big golf fan. He loves the game. And just wanted to get your take on Tiger Woods. He recently fired his caddy. I thought it was interesting. I heard all these people saying Tiger's game was done for a while. His body was broken down. His swing coach said he didn't know where Tiger was. All of a sudden, he surfaced, says he's 100% ready to play.
Well, I'll be intrigued to see how he plays. He plays at 1:40 this afternoon with Darren Clark, who's a close friend of his, who won the British Open. He has a good matchup. He's playing a course that he's done extremely well on over the years. He's won 7 times at Firestone in Akron. But I have no idea what to expect. I mean, I guess I'm a little, intrigued by the fact that he said he's never felt this good physically in years, and in years he's won a lot of golf tournaments, not recently, but if he feels that way and everything's cleaned out and he doesn't have any more, you know, emotional issues with his caddy, at least for the time being, I'll be interested to see how he competes. I have nothing to expect one way or the other. It wouldn't surprise me if he shot 70 or 80, to be honest with you. He hasn't been around in so long to play. I've got nothing to go by recently. However, I take him at his word that he has a chance to play well, simply because when he says, like he did this week, that he's never felt this good physically in years, to quote him, well, that ought to be significant, I would think.
Tim, I thought some comments you made regarding Mark D'Antonio and his support, or maybe lack of judging or criticizing, the former Ohio State coach Jim Tressel, was a challenge, and would be a challenge for anyone if your friend, if your family member got into some trouble.
Well, there's no question about it. I mean, the media spent a lot of time trying to get Mark D'Antonio to comment on Tressel last week in Chicago, and it's understandable, the questions. After all, they go back to 1983. They were together at two schools. But, I mean, I just think it's folly to believe that anybody's going to throw his friend under the bus. It's just not going to happen. Whatever D'Antonio thinks in his own mind about what happened, you can tell he's crushed by what's happened to one of his close family friends. I mean, the families are close. It isn't different for him like it is anyone else. You have a close friend who gets in trouble and publicly you're asked to comment. I mean, it's just human nature. You're not going to toss the guy under the bus. He didn't do that. So I think, you know, questioning him about Tressel is difficult to do relative to getting some kind of a comment that trumps the fact that his loyalty and friendship to the Tressel family, he's going to go beyond that with any public comment that he makes.
All right, Tim, I got about 10, 15 seconds left. What will you be covering on Channel 10 tonight?
Well, you got a lot going with the Detroit Lions now that Nick Fairley is hurt. The Tigers wrap up with Texas this afternoon, and then they go on the road for 9 days, and they got a 4-game lead. And you know what? There's usually something else that develops during the day that you don't even know about, just like Bubba Smith yesterday.
All right, Tim, thanks so much.